And turn with me, if you will, to the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 126 in your pew Bible. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground, until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Crossing over Jordan. Crossing over Jordan. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. This morning I want you to consider the habits with me of the mother eagle. The mother eagle builds her nest high on a ledge on the side of a rocky mountain. And she builds the nest first by gathering strong twigs and branches and intertwining them so tightly that if the nest were to somehow fall apart, it would not break when it hit the ground. That's how tightly she makes that nest. Then the mother eagle adds leaves and feathers and other soft materials to a nest to make it comfortable for her young eagles as they grow to maturity. And then the mother eagle feeds them from the time they are born until the time comes that they're old enough to leave the nest and stretch out their wings and fly as eagles were supposed to fly, high and free and independent. And she knows when that time is, but the young eagles don't know that time. In fact, it never probably enters their mind that they are supposed to do their own flying and to find their own food. Why would they ever think about leaving the nest? And they don't. They don't until the mother eagle does something that no doubt terrifies the young eagles. She snuggles up close to each young eagle and pushes them out of the nest one by one. And as that young eagle falls, no doubt wondering why his comforter, his supplier, his supporter, his mother had now become his tormentor, as he falls to the ground, the mother eagle sweeps down underneath him and catches him on her wing and picks him up. And she does this over and over again until finally that young eagle, as he's falling, decides to flap his wings. And he finds out to his surprise that he can fly just like mama can. And then she goes and does it to each one of the eagles one by one until they all discover that they were supposed to fly, that they can fly if they just try. And that way she teaches them that they were supposed to be creatures of the air, creatures of the sky and not creatures of the ground. But just knowing that they were meant to fly and just knowing how to fly does not mean that they will fly off on their own. And why should they? They get fed on a regular basis, and this nest is so comfortable. And that's when the mother eagle takes the next step that's necessary to get her young eagles over the barrier that's keeping them from becoming what eagles are supposed to be. She starts to tear apart the nest. First, she takes out all the soft, comfortable materials, the feathers and the down and all that stuff that makes it comfortable. And then she pulls the twigs loose so they're sticking out. So instead of a nice, comfortable nest, when the young eagles come back, there's a hard and rough nest that they get in. And they just don't feel comfortable there anymore. And she does this not to punish her young eagles, but to lead them to become what they were meant to be, creatures of the sky. The comfort of the nest was a barrier to that growth. So the mother eagle tears it apart and guides her young past that barrier. The Bible tells us that the eagle's concern for her young is symbolic of God's concern for his people. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a wasteland and in a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings and taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him." Our text today tells us that about God's determination that his people Israel would get past the barriers that they faced as a people and become the people that he had promised that they would be and inherit the land that he promised that would be theirs. But first they had to get past a very real barrier, the Jordan River. Crossing the Jordan River represented a great milestone in the history of Israel and in their dealing with the Lord God Jehovah. It was an important event in their life. This great river they had to get crossing. And when they approached it this time, it was at flood stage. They had been in the desert for 40 years. And during those 40 years, the Lord had took care of them. He had fed them manna from heaven every day. And he made sure that they found water whenever they needed it. And no doubt some had got comfortable with that situation. No doubt some had said, you know, we've been here 40 years and it's not that bad, you know. We get fed every day and we don't have to fight any wars. We don't have to plant any crops. Maybe this is where we're meant. Maybe this is where the Lord meant for us to be. But the Lord meant what he said in the first place, what he said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He said that he was going to lead them to a good and plentiful land that would be their possession forever. And the Lord repeated that same message to Moses as he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. He did not call them out of captivity for them to live forever in the desert. But God called them out of Egypt to deliver them to the promised land. And God was determined to be Israel's deliverer. And just as the mother eagle was determined to deliver her young so that they could soar into heaven, God was determined that Israel would cross over Jordan and reside and prosper in the promised land. So he took them by the hand and led them past that barrier that was keeping them from getting there. Have you ever had something in your life that looked like a barrier to you? Something that was keeping you from doing what you knew you were supposed to do and from being what you knew you were supposed to be? We've all encountered those kind of seeming roadblocks to ourselves that we know that we should be doing something more than we're doing, but things just keep getting in our way. Things just keep stopping us and blocking us from being what we were meant to be. Sometimes the barrier is self-image. We have a poor self-image, and until we get over it, we won't grow. Sometimes the barrier is fear. We're afraid to leave our comfort zone and to try something new, and we will not grow until we get over our fears. Sometimes the barrier is envy. We want what others have, and we deprecate what we have and don't appreciate what we have. We won't grow until we overcome that envy and learn how to appreciate what God has already given us, and then he'll start to do more for us. Sometimes the barrier is anger. We just can't get over anger. We can't let it go, and we won't grow until we let it go. Sometimes the barrier is laziness. Sometimes it's a whole lack of things, but behind it all, it's a lack of faith, a lack of faith in God. So whatever it is that's kept you back and keep you from being what God wants you to be, you need to know that God is determined to get you over that barrier. God is determined to be your deliverer. And just like the mother eagle was determined that all of her young eagles would fly and soar through the air as eagles are supposed to do, God is determined that all of his children will get past whatever barrier that's in their lives so they can move on to the place where he wants them to be, or place he is determined that they will be. God is determined to be your deliverer. So we just need to get ready to go forth on God's word. God has sent his word to lead us where he wants us to be. We need to have the faith to be ready to move on the word of God, just like Israel was. Since God is determined to be our deliverer, we must be determined and ready to go forth on his word. But why must we get ready? If God is determined to be our deliverer, why do we have to do anything? Well, just like those young eagles found out that they had to flap their wings a little bit to do what they were supposed to do, we have to flap our wings. As the Lord moves us to where he wants to be, we have to flap our wings, and that's called faith. When you get out there and start flapping your wings, that means you have faith that God is doing something with you, that God is carrying you somewhere. In Joshua chapter 3, we find four facts about God's determination that will explain why we must stand ready in faith to step out on his word. Let's look at these four facts one at a time. Starting at the beginning of chapter 3, we find Joshua passing on God's instruction to get the people ready to move. In verse 1, it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went throughout the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.'" We must be ready to go forth on God's word because God is determined to show us the way. God is determined to show us the way. None of us have passed this way before. We have not lived this life before. We don't know where we're going to end up, but God knows. And God will lead us down the path that we have not traveled before. Sometimes the path will lead through places that we don't want to travel. Sometimes the path that God leads us takes us through sickness. God will show you the way through that sickness. Sometimes the path that God leads you will take you through strife in your life. God will show you the way through the strife that comes in your life. Sometimes the path that God leads you will take you through persecution. It seems like people are persecuting you from every side. God will show you the way through that persecution. God set the ark up front so that Israel would have a faithful guide to follow. He said, "Look up for the ark. When you don't know which way to go, just look up and see the ark before you and go that way." He said, "Don't get too close because if you get too close, you can't tell the direction I'm going." The job of the priest was to hold the ark high so that the people could see where God was leading them. And that's the job of the gospel preacher today, to lift up Christ so that the people can see Christ and know which way God is trying to lead them. And as long as the people were following the ark, they knew they were going in the right direction, even though they had not traveled that path before. The message to Israel told them exactly the same thing. It said in verse 4, "Stand back a little way so that you can see which way the Lord is leading you. You don't know the path like God does." We need to take heed to that same message today, to stand back and see which way the Lord is leading us before we take off. So often we get ahead of the Lord, and then we have to let him rein us back in and turn us around to go in the direction that he wants us to go in the first place. And the other thing that the Lord says to the people, when you see the ark moving, you move. That's your sign. When the ark moves, you move. When the ark stands still, you stay still. But when God starts to move, you need to move with it. God said to his people through Joshua, "When the ark moves, I want you to get ready to move. Be ready to move." And we need to learn to move at God's command. So often it happens that the Lord is calling us to move beyond some barrier that has blocked us in the past because he knows it's time for us to move on. But we don't want to move because we're comfortable right where we are. We need to learn how to move at God's command. So we must be ready to go forth on God's word because God is determined to show us the right way. So like those fearful little eagles that got thrown out of the nest, we have to move at God's words, trusting that he cares for us, trusting that he loves us, trusting that his will is best for us. And when we get out there flapping our wings and trying to stay up and trying not to fall flat on our faces, there's one fact that we need to remember that will comfort us and that will remove our fears. The fact that God has promised to go with us. God has promised to go with us. When we feel like we're all alone, we're nonetheless under the watchful care and protection of God. No matter what we think and how we feel, God is watching over us. Look at verse 5. "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. We must be ready to go forth on God's word because God is determined to be with us all along the way. God has made the determination that he's going to be with us all along the way. God told Joshua, I want you and all Israel to know that I'm with you. I'm with you in this. I'm the same God who told Moses to strike out 40 years ago. I am with you. I am your strength. I am your guide. I am your protector. And the Lord had given Israel this assurance in a visible form for the 40 years that they were out in the desert. As he was with them all during those 40 years, they knew that he was with them because at night there was a pillar of fire that watched over them. They could just look up and see that pillar of fire and know that God was keeping them. During the day, there was a pillar of cloud that they could see. And they knew that they had the presence of God with them always. And now he's telling them, he said, just watch this ark and see where it goes. This assured Israel that God in his mighty power was there with them to protect them throughout, no matter what came upon them. Because we're weak and fearful creatures, and we need God's assurance that he's with us, that he's protecting us in a visible way. And faith comes when we know that even if we haven't seen God, we know that he's with us. That's when you know that your faith has grown, when you know the presence of God is around you, even though you haven't seen it. And God will start to show you things to let you know that he's there. He'll start to do things and let things, and if your eyes are open, you'll be able to see that God is with you and that God is protecting you. For example, I have an alarm system in my home that has a red light on it for every door and window. And it a light that blinks if there's motion in the downstairs. So I often look at this control panel before I go to sleep at night to make sure all the lights are on and that none of them are blinking. That gives me a measure of assurance that there's security in my home. And I need to hurry up and tell you that this alarm system is not my protection. God is my protector. I go to sleep at night trusting that God is in sovereign control over all that happens in my home and all that happens in my life. My peace of mind comes from knowing that Jesus gave his disciples, which is all of us, the same assurance that God gave to Joshua and to Israel, saying, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. So we must be ready to go forth on God's word because God is determined to go with us all along the way. And knowing that God is with us is a great comfort. But God's presence is more than just a source of comfort. It's a source of power and a source of strength. God is not just with us for the company. God is determined to make a way for us. So we need to remember what God said to Joshua when he put him in Moses' shoes. The Lord told Joshua that he would be with him in every battle, no matter who the enemy was. God told Joshua, I'm going to be on your side. I'm going to be fighting there with you. So listen as Joshua passes on the word of the Lord to the people in verse 10. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. All of those sites around, he's going to push all of them out of their way. Verse 11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. We must be ready to go forth on God's word because God is determined to remove all the barriers that we face along the way. God is determined to remove all the barriers. We're sometimes surprised to realize that after we have conquered that major battle in our life, that great roadblock, we've gotten over that and we've gotten past that hurdle, and we're ready for the Lord to do great things in our lives, we find out to our surprise that there's still other hills to climb. You say, I thought we were finished, but God, there's still other hills to climb. And God just showed you and gave you the strength that now you know how to climb those other hills. Most of us would like to rush back to our comfort zones and just get comfortable where we used to be, like Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. But the Lord wants us to continue that upward climb. He's going to be with us, but he wants us to continue that climb. The Lord knows how to give us rest along the way, and he'll do that. He'll give you a measure of rest. But he wants you to keep going, to keep pressing on. We need to remember a truism about life down here on planet Earth. There's a true fact. We're always in one of three places. We're always either in the middle of a storm, or we're just coming out of a storm, Are we getting ready to go into another storm? That's a truism about life here. That's a reality of life on earth. That's why heaven is better than earth, because there's no storms in heaven. The joy in heaven is uninterrupted. But down here, we have to go through these storms. But even as we go through these storms, we can find joy if we look to the Lord and trust in his care. The Lord knows how to give you joy in the middle of the storm. He doesn't have to wait till he gets you through. He can give you joy in the middle. But you need to know that he's taking you through. And he's going to give you some time out of that storm before you go into the next. So if you're coming out of the storm, rejoice and enjoy the rest for a while. For this too will pass. If you're in the midst of the storm, lean on the Lord and be courageous. The Lord will see you through it. Trouble doesn't last always. This too will pass. Or if you're going into a new storm, take heart. The Lord will go with you all the way through the storm. You just need to lean on him, get close to him. The Bible says, draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. So just as the mother eagle dropped her young but would not let them fall to the ground to be crushed, God would not allow us to be destroyed. God will show us the way out of whatever we're in. The Lord will fight our battles, because the battles that we are in are really the Lord's battle in the first place. They're not our battles, they're God's battles. The Lord called us to fight his battles. So we should therefore rejoice, because God gave us an assurance in Romans 8:31, where Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Joshua told Israel that the Lord would drive out all their enemies that came before them. So we must be ready to go forth on God's word, because God is determined to overcome all the barriers that we face. So we get through a barrier. Don't get discouraged and turn back. God knows what's up ahead. That barrier may surprise you, but it did not surprise God. So just take heart, take strength in God, and go forward. We must be ready to step out on faith. God waits for us to step out on faith before he takes over. If you will not trust the word of God enough to stand on it, you will not see the power of the word of God coming alive in your life. If you will not trust the word of God enough to stand on it, you won't see its power. God promises to be faithful to us, and he just wants us to be faithful to him. When we step out on faith, God goes to work on our behalf. Let's look at the Lord's work as we close out the passage that we began reading in the beginning. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole harvest time, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. We must be ready to go forth on God's word, because God has promised that he would keep every promise that he made along the way. God is determined to keep every promise that he has ever made to us. God keeps his promises. God wants us to be determined to trust his promises. God had Israel poised on the banks of the Jordan River at flood stage, the priests up front with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, over 2 million people standing behind, waiting to see what was going to happen next. And they were thinking, how do we get across this mighty river? How are we ever going to get across this great barrier? When is God going to stop this water so that we can get across as he told us to do? I don't know how long Israel stood on the banks of the Jordan before stepping into the water. But I do know how long they would have stood there if they had waited for God to stop the water before stepping out on faith. They would have stood there forever. They'd still be standing there waiting for God to stop the water, waiting and blaming God for not coming through for them. But as soon as they stepped out, and as soon as their feet touched the water, the Bible says God went to work and backed the water up. And just in case someone might say this wasn't a real miracle, the water stopped for some other reason, not only did the water stop, But 2 million people walked across with their cattle on dry ground. You may be able to stop a river, but only God can dry it up instantly. They didn't walk in mud. They didn't sink down in the mud. 2 million people, half of them would have got sunk in that mud from what was just a flood river. But God stopped the river and dried it off, and the priest went out there and stood still. And all the people marched across. God did a miracle, but he would not have done it unless they had enough faith to step into a raging flood. Sometimes that looks like what God is asking us to do. Lord, you asked me to step into the raging flood. You need to stop it and slow it down for me. And God says, go ahead and step out. I'll take care of the rest. You just step out. When they stepped out on faith, God acted as only God can act. So we must be ready to step out on God's word because God is determined to keep his promises. So we return now to the question with which we started. Why do we need to be ready in faith? If God can do these great things, why do we need to be ready in faith? Why do we need to have faith to step out? Well, we must step out on God's word because God is determined to show us the way. We have not passed this way before. So until we step out, God won't show us the way. We must step out because God is determined to go with us along the way. God can't go with us if we don't step out and start going. We must step out on faith because God is determined to overcome every barrier that we face along the way. Until we start taking that walk, we won't see the barriers that he's going to get us over. We must step out on faith because God is determined to keep every promise that he made to us along the way. God is determined to take us across the Jordan rivers in our lives, whatever they may be, so that we can receive the promises that he made to us in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that God has made great and glorious promise to us in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, there's promises that God has made in your life that won't happen until you start walking by faith. The promises are there. They're waiting for you. If you have sin in your life, and that's keeping you from obeying God, that's your Jordan River. God wants to take you across to the other side. You may have anger and unforgiveness in your life that's keeping you from obeying God. God says, turn it loose. You say, I can't let go. I've been hurt too bad. That's your Jordan River. God wants to take you to the other side. You may have fear in your life that's keeping you from trusting God. God calls you to walk by faith. You say, I can't see where I'm going. That's your Jordan River. God wants to take you to the other side. You may have pride in your life that's keeping you from depending on God in all situations. God says, give up all that you have and follow me. And you say, Lord, I have too much to let go. That's your Jordan River. God wants to take you to the other side. You may have envy and self-pity in your life that's keeping you from believing God. God says, ask and you shall receive. And you say, Lord, but there's others who have more than I have. That's your Jordan River. God wants to take you to the other side. You may have procrastination in your life that's keeping you from obeying God. God says, go now. And you say, Lord, let me think about it a little while. That's your Jordan River. God wants to take you to the other side. Since God is determined to be our deliverer, we must be ready to go forth on the word of God. God is calling us to take his hands as we walk through this life and let every step that we take from here forward be a step of faith. Don't worry about the storms that come your way. Step out on faith and watch God work. Don't worry about how hard the wind may blow. Step out on faith and watch God work. Don't worry about how much rain may be falling. Step out on faith and watch God work. Don't worry about the problems that stand in your way. Step out on faith and watch God work. Don't worry about the people that stand in your way. Step out on faith and watch God work. Don't worry about the mountain that may stand in your way. Step out on faith and watch God dump them into the depth of the sea. Don't worry about the rivers that you have to cross. Step out on faith and watch God work. We all have rivers to cross. The greater the river, the greater the reward the Lord has for us on the other side. But we won't get there until we step out on faith. One of the greatest hymns of the church was written by a man that had just gotten word that his wife and his baby son had died. And as he stood on that great river of grief, Thomas Dorsey wrote these words, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. This time I'd like the congregation to stand and the choir to come and sing for us. In just a moment, I'm going to give an invitation for the entire church to come to the altar for prayer. But right now, you need to prepare in your hearts to take that step over that barrier, that river that's in your life that you know God wants you to step across. In your heart right now, say to the Lord, say, I'm ready to step out in faith on your word, Lord. I'm not going to wait for you to stop the river. I'm going to step out in faith. So there's different things that we need to step across on the word of the Lord. Turn your heart over to the Lord and let him take you across that great river. As the choir continues to sing, I invite the entire church now to come to the altar for prayer.